So now we move on to part two and look at the first reading, which is from Amos 6. Actually, an introductory line from 6:1, and then four verses 4 to 7. The text reads, isn't that amazing? I forgot to put in the Hebrew text for that. It's all right. I got the Bible here. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall, improvising to the music of the harp like David. They devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils, and yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. See, this is Amos's message all the time. There's another famous part of Amos. For the three offenses of Moab, and for a fourth, I will not turn it back. What's coming? You say, I will not turn it back, the punishment. And so, we have this text. I'm going to have to look at them. I don't know why I didn't put down the Hebrew this time, but we can find it. You just have to excuse me a moment while I look it up. Yirmiyahu, Ezekiel, Hosea. Amos, there we are. 6:1-4. Amos was a southerner, as I told you last week or the week before. He lived in this town, Tekoa nowadays. And he says, look, when the boss up in the north tries to chase him back south, he says, look, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm only doing this because the Lord told me to come up here and tell you this, that you are heading for ruin because you oppress the poor. And so that's what I've come to tell you. And that's why you get this thing here, you see, about woe to the complacent, is the way they translate it. Hoy, hasha'ananim, ya, b'tzion, habotichim, b'char shomrim. Complacent in Zion, lying upon, they just don't take that part in. Okay. Lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. The ancients ate that way, you know. They lay down and they ate. That's why at the Last Supper, all John had to do was to lean back. He was sitting there, see. He was in front of Jesus, the one who was right. And all he had to do was lean back and on Jesus' chest and say, who is it? Who's going to betray you, you see? And Jesus could whisper back, the one I give this bread to. So, that's why he's saying, they lie upon the beds of ivory, stretched comfortably upon their couches. And then it just talks about their diet, you see. They take fresh lamb from the flock and calves from the stall, and they have them roasted, and they have a meal. And while this is going on, they're playing the little harps, you see, and drinking wine from bowls. They anoint themselves with the best oils, yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. You get it? We're all so happy with our comfort, going out to the restaurant, having a nice meal and a glass of wine. Do we ever think of what's happening to the poor? You see, that's what you see and hear, you see? They drink, improvising the music of the harp like David. You see? They anoint themselves with the best oils, yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Joseph, the collapse of the southern kingdom as well, on its way, and certainly the north already on its way here in Amos. Doesn't bother you at all. if you're comfortable, you're getting all nice food and good wine and friends to chat with, you're not looking around. You have no compassion. See, this is what Pope Francis means about caring about the poor. First, you have to care in your heart. You just can't go out and give them your secondhand underwear. You know, you have to care in your heart. But they don't have the conveniences, the access to education, the food that we do. And we have to change that. That's wrong. I don't mean it's mathematically everybody's got exactly the same. That's just not real. It's just not the way it goes. People don't have the same brain, same health, same long life. But, you see, to have no care at all, about the collapse of Joseph. The collapse of the city of such and such, the city of Detroit, for instance. Look at the mess Detroit is in. Does it ever bother you? Oh, no. Now, you know, you live in Birmingham, Alabama, or wherever you live. So it doesn't bother you at all. But it should. And that's what he's saying. You get so comfortable that then, you know, so finally, all right, you have to help the poor. I'm sending my checkbook. $100. Here, go. And you still don't care about the poor. And that's what Amos is telling these people, see? So what'll happen? They'll be the first to go into exile when the northerners come down from Assyria and Babylon and conquer this northern kingdom. See, the Lord warned the north and left the south intact for another 100 and some odd years, almost 200 years, 721 to 586. No more. They shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. We have to think about this. Is it right to go out to dinner once in a while? Yes. Is it right to go out to dinner all the time and not spend money on the poor? No. I told you about that quote of Augustine. You know, I'm in glory now, says Jesus, but I was poor and cold and hungry and, you know, besides crucified. Did you do anything for me? You see, this is what the Pope means. He's not saying everybody has to go do social action, but you have to have a heart for the poor so that you know what to do, what the Lord wants you to do to serve them. Dignity, more than anything else. People are poor in dignity when they don't have those things that everybody else says are important, to be dignified and important and successful and so forth. I don't have those things. I got an old car. I send my kids to public school. You know, I've got to kowtow to the foreman or I'll lose my job. Those are the things. Those are the things. And why should they have to do that? And I don't have to do that. Well, I have to in a way, but not in the same way. And that's why, you see, the Lord says, you know, go. I think of my friend Rick Thomas. I've mentioned him many times. But you see, he didn't do that. He lived in, he went over to Juarez from the Texas town. I forgot the name of which one it is now, whatever it was. And he worked with them. He cared for them. And because he did, he was endowed with miraculous powers. He raised the dead. He healed those who were blind. He showed the compassion of Christ. And he was almost a slap-happy guy. I mean, he was one of my best friends. I miss him. You know, one time he got permission from the bishop down in one of those small towns to preach. The bishop, here's the key, you can go to the church. He went and opened the door. It was full of dust. The church hadn't been used for years. That's the one the guy gave him. He said, well, this is the one I've got to preach in. I'm going to preach. So he stood up in the front of the church, total empty church, and began to preach. And by the time he finished, that church was full. The Lord sent them. And then he had a healing service and healed tons of them. You see, You've got to try to have that. This is why our Pope is so helpful. You've got to have a heart for the poor. You've got to realize that they don't have many things that we take for granted. Now, some are just angry and jealous, but many are not. But they would appreciate dignity, love, and help. You know? That's why when I lived in those countries which were so poor, I would give something away when the beggars were asking me, and I would always say, pray for me. You know? You can do me more good by praying. I don't care if you're a Hindu, you know, than I can do by giving you some money. And so, that's this first reading from Amos. As you can see, it's caring. The theme is the caring for the poor, this theme. Now, the psalm, you see, is this Psalm 146. Blessed is he who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. And then the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. In some cultures, see, we in our very mobile culture, you know, you could be from Alabama and go up to Pennsylvania and you just, I'm from Alabama, and you're okay, you know. Not in this culture or these cultures. If you're not around from around there, this, you're a little bit odd, and they're not quite free of suspicion. I told you about the family from Tekoa who moved into Bethlehem. You can see Tekoa from Bethlehem. They lived there 100 years, and they're still called the strangers. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. So now you see, when it says, imitate me, you see, this is what he means. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. The fatherless and the widow he sustains. Hard for us to realize in these male-dominated, I guess, cultures, a woman or a child without a man is absolutely helpless. Absolutely without any help at all. She can be, he can be, if it's a child, exploited. Nobody's going to stop them. See? And so that's why he's saying, you see, the fatherless and the widow, he sustains. But the way of the wicked, he thwarts. Maybe not right away, but they're going to get it. Because whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations, because you are God, because you are great and holy, and because you care. May you be praised. Amen. Mm-hmm.